classes of boys would play on the following weekend. The IHSA anticipates a decision on the format change will come by the June 10th board meeting. Studies show that 72% of children and youth will experience at least one adverse childhood experience before the age of 18. So does the risk for psychological, behavioral, and social-emotional problems. A local program committed to identifying these instances in Macon County Schools has been honored as a featured presenter at the annual conference of the American Educational Research Association in Toronto. The Trauma-Informed Partnership, also known as the TIP, was created in July 2016 and has grown to include 5 pilot schools in Macon County. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Julian Assange may soon be coming to America. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. After the WikiLeaks founder was arrested this morning in London, Fox's Simon Owen is there live.
Dave, Julian Assange forcibly removed from the Ecuadorian embassy here, where he's been sheltering for nearly 7 years. Ecuador revoking his asylum and police saying they were invited into the embassy to make the arrest. He's been detained first for breaching UK bail conditions, but police confirm he's also been arrested on behalf of US authorities. WikiLeaks previously released secret US government files and emails from Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Dave?
Simon, this reaction from WikiLeaks saying there's been a sophisticated effort to dehumanize Assange. Edward Snowden also reacted. Remember him? The American who fled to Russia after leaking classified NSA information detailing government surveillance programs. Snowden tweeted, "This is a dark moment for press freedom." Democrats who keep demanding Attorney General Barr give them the full special counsel Mueller report are now upset. Barr told a Senate hearing without offering evidence the Trump campaign was spied on in 2016, calling it a big deal that he will be reviewing.
The chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Now, the Treasury Department has missed the Democrats' deadline to turn over President Trump's tax return, saying it's still reviewing the request. Senator Ron Wyden told the IRS commissioner,
"It is your job and your job alone to respond to Chairman Neal's request."
Neal chairs the House Ways and Means Committee, and he's using a tax law that says the IRS shall comply with his request. It may be April 11, but a nasty storm is snowing down from Utah and Colorado.
Feels like it's been a long winter, you know. Ready for summer.
To Wisconsin.
We're not really well prepared for this one.
Many areas under blizzard warnings. In the Dakotas, they could get 2 feet of snow. More than 400 flights are canceled. This is Fox News.
Guardians of the grass, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor built for versatility. Because when you take pride in your lawn, you do it all. You mulch, bag, haul, grow, mow, and a whole lot more. And that's why the X300 Series takes care of everything with attachments for all your spring and summer projects. Because you're not just doing yard work, you're creating common ground for the whole neighborhood to enjoy. Nothing runs like a deer. Run with us. Search John Deere X300 for more.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. That's why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
Try ZipRecruiter now for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
There's more political turmoil in Sudan. We just got word that the president of that African nation has been arrested. Sudan's defense minister in uniform announced this on state TV. One of the front runners in the crowded Democratic race for president here has put out his plan to overhaul health care in America, and some of his rivals are on board with it.
Vermont independent Bernie Sanders has reintroduced an updated version of single-payer Medicare for All health care.
1 out of 5 Americans who get a prescription from their doctor cannot even afford to fill that prescription. How crazy is that?
More than a dozen Senate Democrats have joined as co-sponsors, including rival presidential candidates Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, and Kirsten Gillibrand.
This has to become the next social safety net. It has to become something that is there for you no matter what.
Other Democratic leaders, however, are not on board, advocating instead to shore up the existing health care law. On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Ohio is the latest state becoming a legal battleground over abortion.
The Ohio State Senate narrowly approved the bill by an 18-13 vote, just hours after the House moved it along by a 56-39 tally. The bill makes an abortion illegal after a fetal heartbeat can be heard. That could be as early as 5 to 6 weeks into the pregnancy. The bill has no exceptions for rape or incest. Ohio would join 5 other states to approve such an abortion restriction bill. Former Governor John Kasich twice vetoed similar measures. Once new Governor Mike DeWine signs it, as he earlier promised, pro-choice groups say they plan to sue to stop its implementation. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
The regular season's over in the NBA. The Detroit Pistons have grabbed the last playoff spot with a win over the New York Knicks. On Wall Street, stock futures rising before the opening bell. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Get up, baby. Get up. Get up. Oh, yeah. A home run and the Cardinals win it.
It's the NowDecatur.com ticket window. Brought to you by J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. And First Mid Insurance Group. Listen to Buyers and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. The NowDecatur.com ticket window. From 1340 a.m. and 103.3 FM. WSOY. Your home for Cardinal baseball.
Unbelievable.
It's the 17th Macon County Casa Playhouse Raffle. Each year, 2 themes are chosen for the playhouses. This year, the playhouses are a castle called the Castle Casa and a super cute cottage called the Charleston Single House. Tickets available online at MaconCountyCasa.org or see sponsor locations. Houses will be showcased at Central Park in downtown Decatur beginning Monday, March 25th. And the drawing will be held live at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo on Thursday, May 2nd. Please support the 2019 Casa Playhouse Raffle.
A big.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today we've got partly cloudy skies, highs around 77 degrees. Then tonight we can see some showers, maybe some thunderstorms as winds get up there, gusting around 34 miles per hour. Overnight lows around 44 degrees. Friday, we've got sunshine, highs near 57 degrees. More on Saturday, mostly sunny, highs near 57 degrees. It is 51 currently in downtown Decatur.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, April 11th edition of Buyers and Company. City Hall Insider, former mayor of Decatur, Paul Osborne, back in the studio's first appearance since the local election. We'll dive into the results of that and all the great things that are happening in this community. It all starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on a Thursday, and back in his regular slot is Paul Osborne. What happened? We were a couple of weeks, right? I mean, we were, or maybe it was just 1 week.
After the election, we were on location.
We had the community leaders breakfast last week with Dan Hampton, the Chicago Bears Hall of Famer. By the way, I spent $2.99 that night. Renting the 85 Bears 30 for 30 thing on Amazon. After I'd seen it before, but after just hearing his stories and all that, it was fun to go back and look at that team, which was pretty special for all the folks around here.
Yeah, they're really entertaining, and they really had a lot of characters.
Yes, they did. They were overstocked with characters.
They were. Yeah. They had refrigerator and all of them.
The whole thing. So Dan was really good. So Paul was not in the Thursday after the election, so we postponed some of this conversation to today. The low voter turnout, I think the Herald and Review described it as anemic. It was not a lot. You go back through council races when people would get 10,000 votes. I mean, we're just not doing that anymore.
No, and it doesn't really seem to be, unique with Decatur. As I wrote this week, you even look at the smaller communities around Decatur. The turnout was 7% to 10%, which is even less than what we had.
We had a higher percentage in Decatur, actually, than other areas. My question is this. Have we made it too easy to vote? I mean, in the attempt to sort of make it easier, have we taken away sort of the specialness of it?
Yeah, maybe so. And, people used to get out in the snow, the rain, anything that was coming to vote because that was their duty.
Yeah, it was that day.
Yeah, it was day. And I still vote on election day. You don't know if you vote 2 weeks ahead of time what may happen in the 2 weeks to change your mine, but I think thanks to Steve Bean and those working in that office over the years, they have made it so easy to vote. I mean, I could vote early just by walking a block away from my office and taking a few minutes. And maybe we don't fully appreciate the right that we have and the duty that we have as a citizen.
I wonder if maybe there wasn't more urgency, you know, to the question by saying, you know, this is the day you got to get out and do it. I understand that everybody wants everything easier. We get that. This is sort of a microwave society that we live in. We want sort of instant gratification, and there's a push for that. But I wonder sometimes if it has sort of an unintended consequence of just sort of not making it special at all because you can do it for like 2 months.
Yeah, and that may have something to do with it. And I think the fact that we have, what, 50,000, almost 50,000 registered voters here in the city of Decatur.
Right.
And you have a very, very small percentage, and even the winners of a very small percentage of an endorsement from voters to say, we want you in that.
Low voter turnout, generally good for incumbents, though, right? I mean, people aren't, you know, worked up about something. They're not, you know, out. You know, generally, when people are outraged, you know, everybody wants to get to the polls to change something. When you have low voter turnout, it tends to be good for the incumbents.
Yeah, and it was this year. Every incumbent for every office that we've talked about won.
Yeah.
And I think that was a lot about the low voter turnout. I think particularly in the city council race when Bill Faber took third and was elected in that election, that two of the other challengers weren't that far behind.
35 votes separated Bill Faber, or maybe 31 votes.
31, yeah.
Separated Bill Faber and Shalith Hansbrough.
Yeah, so I think it's it shows you what would have happened, and maybe the result would have been the same, but it probably would have been a little more reassuring for those who won to have more people turning out and
well,
say you're the one.
If you're Shalith, you're going, man, that's 31 doors to knock on, or you know, I mean, that's got to be you know heartbreaking to lose you know by so little. Clearly, we've got a new definition a little after the sheriff's race, but I mean, still 31 people, not a lot. I wonder, and I have not talked to Shalith since then, and I endorsed Shalith and supported her. But I was a little taken aback in our interview when she sort of didn't necessarily reject and was maybe even a little open to talking about moving to an aldermanic form of government. Do you think that hurt her?
Well, it probably didn't help and because we've been down that road before. In fact, a couple times and one time, you know, during my second term as mayor, there was a big push for that. Again.
A lot of money spent. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the voters basically said, no, we like it the way it is. And I like it the way it is. I think, you know, I guess any system is not any better than the people you elect to serve in that system. You could have the worst system, have really great people and still have great government. But I think over the years...
But you can have a bad system and bad people, and that's a recipe for disaster.
That's right. And that's why I like the council-manager form of government. I always have. It doesn't lend itself to corruption, and it doesn't get people in there with power, so much power that they can corrupt themselves.
Or power over a six-block area, and nothing ever gets done because all you're doing is fighting about the little stuff.
Yeah, and then you have the most powerful six-block area... representing that area that's demanding everything.
Yeah.
And I think that really slows the process down.
Okay, let's go through the media coverage of this. I know WAND, what's that kid's name on WAND? And by the way, I'm not using kid as a pejorative. They're all kids to
me. You're putting
me on it.
Matt
Loveless?
Yes, Matt Loveless.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He did like these coffee with, you know, so I mean, there was plenty of media, right? You know, you met with all these people. We had all of them on the air. I know the Herald Review did forums. So the media coverage was there if people wanted to consume it, and I'm not so sure they do. I think at the end of the day, people have to sort of be responsible for educating themselves. There's a lot of ways you can. Not a lot of people showed up at all these forums. I don't know, you know, we'll have ratings numbers and can tell you how many people were listening. But, you know, I felt like the media was a little out of touch in this election. I was really surprised by the Herald Review editorial board's endorsements. I mean, I thought they were, like, out of left field.
Yeah, it surprised me. And of course, I'm a publisher of another newspaper, but I think in their choice of candidates to endorse and the reason, and even endorsing the mayor with reservation, something I've ever seen a headline like that, that's a, kind of a left-handed compliment.
Over this hiring process, which they're the only people upset about this.
Yeah.
I mean, have you heard anybody else upset about the way the city manager was hired?
No, in fact, most people I talk to don't care. They don't.
Or even know how.
Yeah, and I can tell you those you've mentioned earlier, you know, the council manager form of government, which I fully support, having served in there too, and see the advantages of that over the old way, and also this cry for transparency. You know, I can tell you there are very, very few things, and I chaired a lot of those executive sessions, very few things that are top secrets. And when we go in there, and I can tell you, the Corporation Council, if you start to swerve at all off of the subject that we're in there for and it's been advertised, she says, no, you know, like, get back on the subject. And that's so there are very few things you can go into an exec session for. And most of those things, all of those things, actually, in time, will be voted on in public.
And yes, including the hiring of the city council or the city manager.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you can just, and maybe it's this Woodward and Bernstein sort of journalistic sort of like, you know, we're meant to, you know, put the spotlight on power. Okay, great. That's fine. I get it. But, you know, they wouldn't hire their publisher that way or their editor that way. No business in the world would. I mean, do you want the best person for the job, or do you want Edna or Gert down the street to be the one making that decision? And I don't understand why they're so caught up with it.
I don't either. And, you know, I'm in the business, and certainly I believe there should be as much transparency as possible. But I think it hurts this community, and it would hurt this community for total transparency. I've had company leaders come in and their attorneys and talk to me and say, we're considering coming to Decatur and locating in this area here. You imagine what that would do to property prices if that got out? If I said, I'm sorry, I've got to tell everyone. And what they requested is, we don't want this to get out.
Yeah.
And when I was there, and thanks to the council, the rule was that I could know something about that and the city manager could know something about that. But we didn't have to tell the council members until we're ready to move on something. And that was to keep it from leaking out. You want transparency? You want me to run to the newspaper, to the media, and say, hey, guess who's coming to Decatur? And those kinds of things are the things that you have to keep private.
Yeah.
Because you destroy growth there's
corrupt government. And I'm all for the media being, you know, but just for the sake of doing it, just, I mean, if you have corruption, okay. If you don't, there's got to be a balance there. I mean, I don't think that anyone thinks that our city council is corrupt. I mean, yeah. There are people that do, clearly, on social media that think all of these folks are corrupt, but they're trying to hire the best person for the job. And I also don't understand what people don't understand about a representative democracy. We hire, and we just did this election 2 weeks ago, we hire the people responsible for hiring that city manager.
That's exactly right. That's why you vote. That's why you elect someone. You don't elect someone to pass the buck and say, yeah, who should we hire?
Let's do a referendum.
Yeah, let's do a referendum on these four picks, which probably none of them would be very good because they don't want their name out in public. And as I mentioned on this show before, and the mayor was sitting in that room with me at the Tribune, and I asked the new city manager before he came here, after he was hired, if he would have applied for this job had his name been out there in the public before. And he said no. No, I would not have applied. And that's just common sense. And people who say, well, I don't care if it's out there or not, are people that are desperately looking for a job. They are. You want the best candidates.
And listen, it's one thing to have an opinion on that, and that's fine. But to use that as the reason you sort of endorse the mayor, I just thought that was unfair.
I thought the mayor did a great job. And as I mentioned, after the hiring was done, kudos to the secrecy, if I can use that word, the lack of transparency in this process. I think it resulted, and only time will tell, in getting the best possible candidate for that position. You want to water it down and get anyone that Joe Blow in the corner who doesn't know anything about city government says, I don't like that guy. I don't like way the guy approaches here.
I guess that's the question is why would you turn it over to people who have no expertise at all in what you need in a city manager and leave it up to them to hire a city manager? I mean, I don't understand what they're asking for.
Well, and you also have to realize the city manager doesn't work directly for the people. He works for the city council and the mayor.
Yeah.
And those seven people are the ones that have the power to hire and fire him, to discipline him. They will evaluate him. And who elected the person down the street who holds no office to make those kinds of judgments on whether to hire someone or not?
I think it's a silly argument.
I think this council also made it possible for citizens to to voice their opinions through input, I think, in social media and that. I think there was, if I remember right, an address they could send comments about what they're looking for in the city manager.
And that kind of stuff, you know, people don't do it. I mean, it's why you get 12 people show up at a forum. I mean, it's just the public outcry is that of the editorial board. It's not coming from the public. And maybe they feel like they need to speak on behalf of the public. I don't know. That's their thing. I also thought that it was a real disservice to Councilman Lisa Gregory, them not endorsing her for reelection.
Yeah, and I thought Lisa was an extremely solid candidate. Mentioned it on your show, mentioned it in my paper. 4 years there. Didn't always agree with every way she went, but she did her homework. She'd even go out and look at sites that were under consideration, and she explained her vote. And I think if we would have lost that, it would have been a real downer for the council.
Now, you got to have continuity, I think. You know, it was important with the school board. You had two brand new members, but you also had Dan Oaks. I mean, you got to have a combination of new faces and new ideas, but there's also experience that matters.
Yeah, it really does in these offices. You have to have people in there that have been there for a while. And in the case of the school board, Dan's been there for a long time, and you rely on that. He's seen a lot happen. Some good, some bad. But you have two new faces on there. But you also have a man who's been on there, a lot of experience, served as president of the school board. So I think the community as a whole made some good choices. I think they said we need experience. I can't remember the races being covered any more thoroughly by the media than this race here. And it ended up every incumbent was elected, you know, across the board.
Yeah, and so there you have it. No surprise with the park board. We knew there were two candidates and two elections there. School board, as I said, I think that the voters made the right choice. The other woman who was running for school board, I there's some stuff on her Facebook page that I can't even believe in 2019. I don't want to, you know, harp on it all day long because she didn't get elected. But I was just stunned at some of the stuff she made public.
Yeah, and I thought the other side of that coin, too, was you had two young people that were very aggressive and very positive in their approach and in their reasoning of why they wanted to be school members, board members, and they really connected with the public, whether it was the parade or anything else. I mean, they were there, they were supportive, they were open, and I think you need those young people coming on because they are the future, and so I think voters made a wise choice.
Well,
there.
The voters go to the polls, and I think what I hear or what I take away from the numbers, and yeah, they were, you know, low turnout, no doubt. But the people who bother to vote, to take the responsibility seriously, said, you know what, we want grown-ups, and we're okay. We think we're heading in the right direction in this community. We think there's good things going on. They didn't vote for chaos. And sometimes I think that editorial board, that's what they want. They just want people that want to argue. They want people. I mean, it's almost like they're just voting for the devil's advocate. And if anybody knows me and I've served on boards, I'm not afraid to speak my mind or have an opinion. But just to do it for the sake of doing it doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah, I really, you know, I don't know the reason. I think traditionally, probably newspaper people in the past and even today, reporters are always talking about transparency or wanting people in office that are so transparent. And I can tell you, I didn't really see anything in all the executive meetings that I chaired and the people who were in those rooms, council members.
Right.
I didn't see anything crooked or corrupt.
No, but just because David Horn says it is doesn't make it true. You know, he sat in these studios, and the reason he lost this mayoral race, in my opinion, is that he was disingenuous. He kept talking about, you know, the council wouldn't listen to ideas, but he had four votes. Well, if you've got four votes, they have to listen to your ideas. But he couldn't answer that question.
Yeah, and I think that's the true quality if you're basing it on an idea of an idea. How many other council members are willing to listen to it? And I think that's really where council members who have ideas that maybe at times seem out of the mainstream, do you have any support for that on council? Did this election change anything? And if you have a really good idea, you need to start one-on-one with the other council members and say, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Or else it won't go anywhere.
To be mayor, though, and Mr. Horn did not have a good answer to this while he was in here. You got to be able to be. You have to be a person who can build consensus.
Yeah, that's the major job, you know, particularly in relating to the council of the mayor is building consensus on that council and bringing members together to an understanding of what we're really voting about and having a good idea of how they're going to vote. you know, before the vote is taken. And the mayor does have the advantage of working with the city manager directly and input into the agenda itself, and also has the power to say, you know,
yeah,
I don't think this is a good time to bring this up.
Well,
the votes aren't there.
Listen, you can root all day for the gadfly, but the gadfly doesn't make a good mayor. That's not what the mayor's job is.
Yeah, and I think when you start looking at the issues you need to deal with, you have to deal with the issues that you feel. It's one thing to speak out, and anyone has a right to speak out, but you have to present ideas and issues that you feel is going to have some support on council, that you can talk to the other council members individually, meet them, have lunch with them, whatever, and say, this is what I'm thinking about. What do you think?
And you got to be realistic. I mean, you have to be. I think, and I appreciate David coming in and enjoyed the interview. But when you look at me across this microphone, as you're sitting there right now, and you tell me that if we got rid of gambling, the people who are taking those dollars and gambling would all of a sudden start spending it in retail shops, that's just not a realistic notion.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone, you know, likes all the gambling.
No, but the idea that you connect those things, you could get rid of the gambling. I'm okay with that. But the idea that if you did, people would just take that money and spend it better, I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't do that from city council.
Well, you really can't. And I think that's the, you know, some of the judgments that are often made that aren't really too realistic from the standpoint. Those people that have a gambling problem, if they don't gamble here, they're going to gamble somewhere.
There's this thing called the internet, and there's a boat 90 minutes away, and there's, you know, the Illinois lottery. I mean, there's a million ways you can gamble. Now, I mean, I would like for people to make better decisions, but that's not my job. It's not even the council's job. But the idea that you would argue that by getting rid of the $1.5 million they're taking in from the gaming and that those people would spend it at the brass horn, that's a leap of logic that just isn't realistic.
Yeah, I think that probably hurt David. I enjoy talking to him and meeting with him when I, you know, see him out and we'll chat. And a lot of his ideas I can't really disagree with. But you also have to look at those ideas realistically as they affect city government and this community. And some of those ideas just don't work.
No, and I think, quite honestly, it's a case of sort of living on a college campus. I mean, it's a world that's unlike any other world out there. And God bless them. It's a great, love Millikan University.
Yeah.
But it's like you live in theory.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with theory, except when you start applying theory to six other council people.
Which is why you can't get consensus, which is why his ideas don't get any traction, which is why he would have not been a great mayor. And I'm happy without any reservations. I mean, there's always I haven't agreed with everything Lisa Gregory's voted on. I don't agree with everything Lindsay. I mean, I don't know what the reservations thing was about. I mean, everybody does something that you disagree with occasionally.
Yeah. In the case of Julie, goodness, look what's happened in recent years. And not only since she's been mayor, but since she's been a council member. The last 10 years, look at this community, and a lot of good things, a lot of good projects have taken place. There have been people attracted to this city because not even what they see in the mayor and what they see in the city council moving forward.
Yeah.
And the mayor having some votes to do these things. And I think maybe the chief reason David ran for this is that you can kind of bypass the council with your ideas and put it on the agenda, whether they want it on the agenda or not.
You got to have the votes, and he didn't. So were you it's interesting because I saw like a comment when the latest Howard G. Buffett Foundation gift was announced last week, which was also Thursday, at I think around 2 o'clock or so, the announcement for this other $25 million gift. And I noticed some commentary online about, well, if we didn't have him, nothing would happen. Our leaders are so blah, 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 blah. I will tell you, as you know, that in those meetings, you know, before any of this is announced, and at the last meeting at the Buffett Foundation, the city manager and the mayor and the Macon County Board chairman are in these meetings. They're working. This doesn't just happen outside of city government.
Well, that's right. I mean, there are a lot of issues that the city has to deal with, even on something like this, and whether it's rezoning or whatever along the lines.
Yeah, so they're going to have, when this is all said and done, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhoods of a $700,000 investment, and just in roads, infrastructure, the stuff that they're responsible for, to get, you know, a $60 million project built.
Yeah, and I guess what I really resent, too, when people, you know, and it's freedom of speech, but Facebook is really bad about this because we posted this on all the comments were good except great, you know, wonderful, what a man, thank you, Mr. Buffett. And there's one, well, I think I'd check out this city of crooks before I gave them a chunk of money. Yeah. You know, just like, what are you?
Of course they are, but that's what yeah. they do. And those are the people I think the editorial board of the Herald Review plays to it. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. All right, Paul, we've got another half hour here with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne. We'll get to some of those announcements that have been made recently and the impact it has, not the intended impact of helping people, which is what this long-term goal is with this campus, but the economic impact on the front end. I was at Crossings for a meeting yesterday, and I cannot believe what Romano has done already down there, the construction. It's just unbelievable how fast it's going up. But the people that are going to work with this, it's amazing. We'll take a break for the news. Back with more right after this.
This is Shiler with your Stories Now, brought to you by Cape Air. The National Dart Association Westgate Tournament will be held in Las Vegas on April 11th through the 17th, and Decatur's own thrower, Alicia Alexander, will be taking part. In a podcast on NowDecatur.com, Alexander can barely contain her excitement as she prepares to finally make the national tournament.
I'm super excited. I can't contain my excitement about going to Vegas. I mean, we have been working toward this forever. I'm going to be too happy. I won't sleep because I'll be too excited to get down there and actually show what I can do on the dartboard.
Alexander and her teammates won their chance to go to the tournament in Springfield recently and are ready to go and have fun, but also try and bring home a win. The board of directors at Caterpillar Incorporated voted yesterday to maintain the quarterly cash dividend of 86 cents per share of common stock. CAT has paid higher dividends to its shareholders for 25 consecutive years, and since 2009, the company's quarterly cash dividend has more than doubled. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is taken into custody at Ecuador's embassy in London, wanted for extradition to the United States to face charges that have not yet been made public.
London police saying he was arrested this morning after Ecuador withdrew his asylum and invited police in. Unconfirmed reports suggest he had to be forcibly escorted out of the building. Assange was wanted by British police for breaching bail conditions, but he says his real concern is being sent to the United States after his website published classified American files.
Fox's Simon Owen in London. A late-season blizzard's hitting parts of the Midwest. This man in Minnesota says,
I'd already put my snowplow away, and I was figuring we were done for the year. I plow snow on the side just as a side job, and when he started talking another big April snowstorm, I was dreading it, to tell you the truth. I was getting used to the warm weather.
That snow could lead to more flooding in the region. This is Fox News.
Traveling for business? Stretch the time you have at home by hopping on a fast flight from Decatur Regional Airport to St. Louis, starting at just $29 each way. Or fly to Chicago with fares starting at just $59 each way. Cape Air will have you there in an hour so you can skip the drive and arrive at your meeting refreshed. Or make easy connections through St. Louis Lambert International or Chicago O'Hare to wherever you need to go. Enjoy free parking and hassle-free travel when you fly out of Decatur. Book at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Fare subject to availability. Some restrictions apply. Visit capeair.com for details.
Works. Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today, cloudy skies, highs near 74 degrees. And for tonight, looking at some showers, thunderstorms rolling in. Could even have some wind gusts up to 35 miles per hour. With lows around 44 degrees for your Friday, sunshine, highs near 57. Saturday, more sunshine, highs around 57 degrees. It's 51 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Time now for Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. Joins us each and every weekday morning. All right, Masters underway.
Hallelujah. This is a big weekend for golf, for golfers, and for golf fans with the Masters underway this morning in Augusta, Georgia. I just think there's something very reassuring once we see the image of the azaleas and the big white sand bunkers and the pine straw just off the fairways and the lush green putting surface. Man, it's just it's a beautiful sight. And as usual, there's no shortage of storylines going into this year's Masters. And I would start with Rory McIlroy. who this is his fifth try to complete the career Grand Slam. He's won the U.S. Open. He's won the Open Championship or the British Open, and he's won the PGA Championship. But this is the one major that has eluded him, and he arrives at Augusta this year playing absolutely great golf. He's played in seven PGA Tour events this year and been top 10 in all of them. He's the odds maker's favorite at 7-1. Dustin Johnson is next at 10-1, followed by Tiger Woods at 14-1, and Justin Rose, one better in Las Vegas, has already plunked down $85,000 on Tiger. He would win $1.2 million if he hit on his bet. And then there's Jordan Spieth. He has played so well here, and that matters. Some people don't play well on this golf course, and some people always play well on this golf course, it seems. He has won here. He's played here five different times in the Masters. He's never finished worse than 11th, so he's at least worth watching this weekend, kind of flying under the radar a little bit. And if you're a golf fan, you know, there are two events you can't miss, and this is one of them, the Ryder Cup being the other. And by the weekend, some of these storylines will come into focus, and on Saturday and Sunday, the drama will be amped up so that you can feel the tension on every shot, and that's what makes this event so special. If you were there today, you might want to follow one of the final three groups. I was looking at the pairings. The final three groups are a threesome of Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, and Jason Day, and then the next-to-last group is Phil Mickelson, Justin Rose, and Justin Thomas, and then the final group of the day is Jordan Spieth, Paul Casey, and Brooks Koepka. Those are three really good groups. Patrick Reed, the defending champ, he's really slimmed down. I mean, he's lost a lot of weight. He said he did it for the champion's dinner. I don't know about that, but he, you know, he looks slimmer. That doesn't always translate into better golf, but we will see. He was awfully good there last year. I can't wait to watch it this weekend.
All right. On the other side of the break with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, we will talk a little baseball and a preview of tonight's Sport Talk. Stay tuned.
It's the 17th Macon County Casa Playhouse Raffle. Each year, two themes are chosen for the playhouses. This year, the playhouses are a castle called the Castle Casa and a super cute cottage called the Charleston Single House. Tickets available online at MaconCountyCasa.org or see sponsor locations. Houses will be showcased at Central Park in downtown Decatur beginning Monday, March 25th. And the drawing will be held live at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo on Thursday, May 2nd. Please support the 2019 Casa Playhouse Raffle.
You. Back here with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All right, baseball.
Well, it's very, very early in the season, but the Cardinals are playing their best baseball right now. They beat the Dodgers 7-2 last night. That's their fourth win in a row. Paul DeJong and Marcell Ozuna with three hits each. Ozuna with a home run. Paul DeJong with an 11-game hitting streak right now. Yadi also homered and had three runs batted in. Jack Flaherty, with a little bit of a rocky start in the first inning, had a lot of pitches, but got a double play ball to get out of the first inning and went on to pitch six innings, allowing one run, struck out eight, walked no one. The Dodgers had just five hits. They go for a four-game sweep against the Dodgers today. That is a 12-15 first pitch with Michael Wacha pitching. Milwaukee lost again last night on the West Coast, lost to the Angels 4-2. So the Cardinals in Pittsburgh are only a half a game out of first place. News yesterday also that Matt Carpenter received a two-year, $37 million extension that will keep him signed through 2021 with an option year on 2022. He's 33 years old. He is sort of he's the master of the long at-bat. He's the guy who can foul off difficult pitches and hang in there and really make a pitcher sweat through an at-bat. Plus, he's been versatile and willing defensively, playing at first base, playing at third base. He may not be a defensive wizard, but he's been able to hold his own and keep his bat in the lineup. If you have not seen the clip of Marcell Ozuna trying to scale the wall Tuesday night, you must see it. I'm sure it's gone viral. It is one of the funniest things you will ever, ever see. And I think one of the great mysteries in baseball is how this guy ever won a gold glove when he was with the Marlins. It's remarkable because he is just a mess out in left field. But he's got the bat going a little bit right now, and that's worth something. Pirates beat the Cubs 5-2 last night. Yu Darvish still struggling, although he didn't walk anyone last night. Jason Hayward with another home run and three hits. He's batting 371 for the Cubs last night in a 40-degree weather condition up there. 7:05, they play again tonight with Jose Quintana pitching. And Tim Kaine and I will be in the studio tonight for Sport Talk from 5 to 7. A lot to talk about. Hope you can join us.
All right, my friend. We'll see you tonight at 5. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. City Hall Insider back with us on the other side of the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Want to be your own boss? ADM Trucking is now hiring local and over-the-road owner-operators. We are paying $1.15 per mile plus fuel surcharge. Come join our team of professional drivers. To apply, applicants must have 1 year of recent driving experience, be at least 21 years of age, and have tank endorsement. If you're interested, call Debbie Sarko at 217-424-5686. That's 217-424-5686. Or visit adm.com/careers.
Get ready, Decatur. Corks and Forks, the social event of the spring, returns Thursday, April 25th to the Decatur Conference Center. Enjoy samples of the very best entrees, appetizers, desserts, and more from the area's finest restaurants and caterers, paired with an extensive selection of wines from around the world. Music, games, raffles, a sizable silent auction, and a South American-themed VIP dining event are all on the menu. Get tickets and info at 423-3189 or at DecaturArts.org.
It's not poor old Decatur. Decatur has the highest hourly wages in the region. Higher than Bloomington Normal, Champaign Urbana, Springfield, and Peoria. Cha-ching! Limitless Decatur. Know it! Boss not buying, you got stuck by a train again? Listen, Chief, there's over 8,000 rail cars a day rolling through Decatur. That's big business, baby! Woohoo! Limitless Decatur. Know it! Milliken and Richland have over 180 degrees. 180 degrees ain't enough to bake a pizza, but it's enough to get you a slice of the pie. You can do it! Limitless Decatur. Know it! More bang for your buck. Decatur is the most affordable housing market in the country. That's more money for pillows, baby. Ha ha! Limitless Decatur. Know it!
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
By the way, that video that Tupps mentioned, you can check it out online. It is very funny. Ozuna in left field for the Cardinals. There is a pop fly. He runs all the way back to the fence, climbs up on the fence because he's going to, like, rob somebody of a home run, but it lands about 12 feet short of the track. So it's definitely worth watching if you haven't seen it. That and the Yasiel Puig taking on an entire team and one teammate trying to hold on to his ankle were the videos this week you need to watch. Just blooper reels, really. Used to, like, before we had the internet, kids, they'd have, like, a TV show on a Sunday night where they'd give you all the bloopers. Remember that?
Yeah. Loved that show.
Yeah, it was good. Now you can get it anytime you want. We're spoiled rotten. All right, good morning and welcome. Paul Osborne, City Hall Insider, back in the studios here today. No big surprise in the city council race. I assumed going in Rodney Walker would be the leading vote getter, or Lisa. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me either way. But and it didn't surprise me that Bill Faber was elected, even though not doing much. But his margin of victory was less than both Lisa Gregory and Rodney Walker, for sure.
Yeah, and Bill, I think, has his own constituency, too, and that's reflected in some of the comments I get about his column and, you know, in the Tribune that he pays for every couple of weeks that, I'm glad there's someone standing up. You know, it's almost like people want someone who's kind of independent on council. And
which is fine, but I would just ask those people, what are they getting besides him just making a speech? Because they're not getting any of it.
Yeah, I don't think the average person, and I've come to this conclusion just from conversation, is paying a whole lot of attention to what the council's doing or what's happening at council meetings. It's just like...
You hear this. Well, he stands up for the little guy. Well, what did he get done for the little guy?
Yeah, and I think questions like that, I don't think they really ever ask.
No, they don't. We talk about the Buffett Foundation, and we talk about the latest, and I want to get into that because the biggest kick I got out of a response to that on social media was somebody tagging another person saying, we're going to be working on this for the next 2 years. And they were so proud. I mean, it was like a trades guy, you know, that they understood. You know, you want to help the average guy. You support things like this. But I can guarantee you that the David Horns and the Bill Fabers are the odd men out on these type of things. They're the ones, and to some extent Pat McDaniel, they're the ones you got to convince to do these kind of things.
Yeah, and I think as long as you're dealing with a majority, you can have council members that have their own ideas that may slow things down or take the spotlight off of the real issue. But I think the real issue as far as the council is there a majority there to keep going and doing the things that they have been doing?
But you know, and you've been there, and you know that there are people out there that said, okay, we got a $25 million project. Our end of this is going to be $700,000. Well, we don't have $700,000.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe the most critical part of the council's action now. I think you have to be wise enough as a council person to see, you know, for what we invest here, look what we're getting out of it. It's not like, you know, we'll find that money somewhere. And it's like, we don't have the money to spend on that. Well, yeah, you find it somewhere because of the benefit that's happening.
Well, you tell me where you can go invest $700,000 and turn it into $25 million. I mean, I'd like to know that. You wouldn't have any financial worries if you could do that every day. And then not to mention the long term, I just had an opioid task force meeting yesterday. There are people that are working diligently behind the scenes on what is impacting every community in this country, except here we are taking an unbelievable proactive approach to ending it. And because of the resources available, like the Howard G. Buffett Foundation. But I can tell you one thing that I know about that foundation. If they didn't have cooperation with city leadership, they wouldn't be doing this stuff. And it's an important role. And the mayor is in the middle of that, and he is a fan of hers. And I try to think about him working with David Horn, and I can't even fathom it. I can't even picture it. So it is important who the city leaders are. But it's also important to invest on those upfront jobs. I mean, do you know how many people? Go take a look. I hadn't been over to Crossing. I go over the Viaduct. I hadn't been over there for a little while. Had a meeting yesterday. I can't believe how much of that construction is already happening.
Yeah, it's almost like a different community.
But every day, that's people taking home paychecks.
Well, I think about the latest contribution meant, what, 142 more jobs? It's just like, yeah, you start looking at what the city invests in something like this, what your taxpayers' money invests in something like this. It's putting people you know to work. It's giving jobs for a long time. And not only that, it speaks to a city that's on the move. I mean, it improves our reputation nationally. It says, look what they have going in Decatur.
And there are people, there are insurance companies reaching out to Tanya now wanting to buy beds in this. I mean, from all over the United States. And so it's being built for the people here. And I hope that everyone realizes that. I mean, you don't often get a $55 million private investment to better your community. But most of that $55 million, it's not paying for operating expenses. It's all capital.
Yeah.
Which means it's all going into somebody else's pocket because they're an electrician or they're a carpenter or they're a tradesman. That's unbelievable.
Well, and I think a city council has to be flexible enough to see that there are opportunities that come along, too, that you see on the horizon, that you will find a way as a council to deal with those in a meaningful way to make those things happen. And that's when things happen in the city. Sooner or later, about anything that happens in the city will go through city council, one shape or other.
Now, go back then to this 27 acres that's now going to be, you know, upwards of maybe even $60 million of private investment when it's all said and done, maybe more than that. And the idea that Steve Garmin, because this, I mean, this stuff all connects. Not that anyone knew this would specifically be the thing, but the whole idea of holding onto that land as the city was important.
Yeah, and I think that's part of a vision that you have for the community. And what's the biblical saying? You know, where there's no vision, the people fail. I think that's true of cities too. If you have a council that has no vision, if you have a city manager that has no vision, you don't have those opportunities in the future. And I think if someone said, you know, when opportunity knocks, someone will answer the door. If it's not us, it'll be somebody. And I think we see that here. I think we need a city council. We need a mayor. And I think we have one that has that vision, that sees here's an opportunity. We don't turn that down. And here's someone who wants to make our community better and has the money to do it. And our part in this is very small, except seeing the concept and contributing what we need to contribute to make this happen. And that's when the city council really works for you.
Yeah, and you got to, I mean, you have to have grown-ups.
Yeah, and I think that's what disturbed me, you know, a long time when I was in public service. It's not about personalities. It's not about I like that person, don't like that person. Who's going to get that? It's about the community.
Right.
It's about what it does for us. And I think sometimes we forget the us. It's not about me. It's about us. And when I see that, I think that's the most frustrating of all that I see in government at all levels. You know, it's about the party. No, it's not about the party. It's about the country.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that on a college campus, it's okay to think it's about a few trees. But I think most people, if you say it's $60 million of putting people to work, they're going to go with that option.
Well, yeah. And I think the reaction, as I mentioned, after I posted it about everybody but one person, is it's wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Buff. He's done so much for our community. And he has. And but by the same token, you know, a lot of this would not be able to happen without the local people being a part of it.
Because you've got roads and sewers and you have the infrastructure stuff that the city's responsible for. You know, but you look back, I mean, I doubt even you or Steve or even our Tuna or the people, you know, throughout the years that looked at that parcel of land over there ever imagined that there would be, you know, literally 27 acres of almost $60 million of investment. There's going to be ponds and walking trails. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. And then the help it will provide for people in this community who desperately need it, instead of criminalizing and putting people in jail, getting people back on their feet, will last for years.
Well, that's right. And it's way beyond anything I could ever imagine or probably anybody else. This is the best of all possible scenarios for the use of that land. But you go back to the point, you need the land to begin with. And I think that's where the city council and the judgments made by individual council members and the mayor, they really come in. That did they have the foresight? Did they have the vision to go ahead and say, yeah, don't know what's going to be on there, but that's going to play a role in our future.
No doubt. And it has worked out. And man, if you haven't, drive by there today if you haven't had a look at it. I was just sort of stunned, you know, when I pulled in and parked yesterday. I thought, oh, my. I mean, because I know we've heard about bad construction weather. Clearly, whatever the Romano company is doing is blowing right through that, and it's amazing to see. But when I see those buildings going up and I see all of that infrastructure being put in place, the thing I think about at this point is just all of those people that are going to work and getting a paycheck, and then what that does to ripple back out into the community. When you're spending basically $55, $60 million on capital projects, that's almost all jobs.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, and then it ripples in so many ways in terms of PR, which is side effect of this about our community, saying this is a community that's really doing something, not just talking about a problem.
Right.
It should encourage all of us that this is a community of doing, not just talking.
Absolutely. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne in the studios. Here's Lindsay Romano with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Today we've got cloudy skies, but warm. Highs are going to be around 74 degrees. Then tonight we're looking at some rain, thunderstorms possible as well. Lows around 44. Tomorrow the sunshine returns with highs around 57. Saturday, more of the same. Sunny and highs of 57 degrees. It is 53 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
A three-run home run, and the Cardinals win it in walk-off style. Look at this crowd.
It's the NowDecatur.com ticket window, brought to you by J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds and First Mid Insurance Group. Listen to Buyers and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see the Cardinals at Busch Stadium. The NowDecatur.com ticket window from 1340 a.m. and 103.3 FM. WSOY, your home for Cardinal baseball.
Woo! Traveling for business? Stretch the time you have at home by hopping on a fast flight from Decatur Regional Airport to St. Louis, starting at just $29 each way. Or fly to Chicago with fares starting at just $59 each way. Cape Air will have you there in an hour so you can skip the drive and arrive at your meeting refreshed. Or make easy connections through St. Louis Lambert International or Chicago O'Hare to wherever you need to go. Enjoy free parking and hassle-free travel when you fly out of Decatur. Book at capeair.com or call 1-800-CAPE-AIR. Fares subject to availability. Some restrictions apply. Visit capeair.com for details.
It's the 17th Macon County Casa Playhouse Raffle. Each year, two themes are chosen for the playhouses. This year, the playhouses are a castle called the Castle Casa and a super cute cottage called the Charleston Single House. Tickets available online at MaconCountyCasa.org or see sponsor locations. Houses will be showcased at Central Park in downtown Decatur beginning Monday, March 25th. And the drawing will be held live at the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce Business Expo on Thursday, May 2nd. Please support the 2019 Casa Playhouse Raffle.
Want to be your own boss? ADM Trucking is now hiring local and over-the-road owner-operators. We are paying $1.15 per mile plus fuel surcharge. Come join our team of professional drivers. To apply, applicants must have 1 year of recent driving experience, be at least 21 years of age, and have tank endorsement. If you're interested, call Debbie Sarko at 217-424-5686. That's 217-424-5686. Or visit adm.com/careers.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here with the City Hall Insider, Paul Osborne. No major surprises in the election, as far as I'm concerned, and no major hiccups in moving forward. I mean, I think we pretty much did a reset, and things are as they were before.
Yeah, I think you have one addition to the council. Rodney is coming on.
Rodney, I see a guy who's cared about this community for a long time, been involved for a long time, supported kids programs for a long time. I mean, I expect him to be a good city council member that just wants the best for this community.
Well, he's a good addition. He really is. I think from the standpoint of his background, his experience, the people he knows, and the inspiration he's been to a lot of people. This is not just someone that one day said, I want to be a city council person. I mean, he evolved towards that. He evolved towards that as another way to serve his community. So I think I'll make a great council member and add a lot to the council. And I think it's a vote of confidence for the direction the council's been moving that, you know, we're okay with this.
Absolutely. Big announcement. Well, not big announcement, but thing over at Millikan University yesterday, the Center for Theater and Dance. They had a beam signing ceremony where students and donors were able to sign, which I thought was kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
You look at the impact of, and I know Dr. White is, you know, they quit over a long period, university presidents. It's not immediate. I mean, they sort of announce that they're going, and then there's a transition. But, man, a lot's happened under his watch.
Yeah, and that just from the time I started, with the Decatur Tribune, that's just been transformed out there. It's just like it's expanded, and everything has happened. We get aerial photos from Steve Huss a lot, a lot of them in the paper. You look down and just like, that's just a tremendous place.
Well, once again, the construction, the jobs, what that means. There's a photo gallery from the signing ceremony yesterday at nowdecatur.com, or you can go to the Nowdecatur Facebook page. But millions and millions of dollars being spent on the campus of Millikan University. That's all private money, too, that gets raised. And you know, those workers go to work, and that ripple effect back into the community just the same way. These are, I just would encourage people, you know, I know we talk about, oh, this store closes or that thing closes, and part of that is consumer demand. I read a story yesterday that they're expecting 75,000 more retail stores to go out of business just because of the habits of consumers and how they're shopping. I mean, that's not a Decatur negative thing. That's just sort of that people have to take responsibility. If you're spending all your money on Amazon and not supporting local stores, that's what happens. But we don't ever give the same weight to the stuff that's being built and the money that's being invested and the jobs that are being created, because if you look over the last few years, there's a lot more of that than there is the negative.
Well, yeah, and I think also, you know, we've talked a lot about Howard, as we should, and his investment, but there's still a lot of people in this community, and we just talked about this project, that are willing to donate their funds and willing to be a part of the community because they see the community of now and the future. They know Decatur's not dying or dead, and we're moving forward. And I'm really proud of those people and proud of a lot of the stuff that's happening now, and certainly proud that the city council is moving in the right direction and good things are ahead and they're already happening.
School board as well. I think this consolidation plan and what they're doing to maximize, you know, the buildings they have and building new, there's going to be a lot of construction involved with that, and new Johns Hill. I feel like we've got some decent leadership in place and people who are ready to build consensus. And I think this election showed me anyway that I think the majority of people agree, or at least the ones who are willing to get out and put their money where their mouth is and vote.
Well, I think also, you know, we had a low voter turnout, but to me, the people who really knew what was going on, the people that really knew about their community and saw the community for what it really is right now, those were the people that got out and voted because they were aware of the value of their vote and aware of the value of continuing, moving ahead.
Yep, no doubt about it. Well, it is over for now. Now we probably can turn our sights to the presidential election. I can't believe it is already. I mean, we're talking debates already.
Yeah.
It's April of 2019.
I'm tired already.
Aren't you? And this Democrat field is going to be like 700 people by the time all is said and done. It'll be interesting to see what happens with all of that. City Hall Insider, always a pleasure. Good to have you back in the studios. Paul Osborne.
Thank you, Ryan.
Former mayor of Decatur, twice elected by the folks in this community, and publisher of the Decatur Tribune. You can get it online by going to decaturtribune.com. Paul updates regularly throughout the week. Or check out a subscription, particularly for a family member living elsewhere. Great way to keep them up on what's happening here in Decatur. We're going to take a top-of-the-hour break for stories and news. When we get back here, we'll talk to the folks from the Community Foundation. Don't go anywhere.
No matter where you are, we're there.